إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يريدون ليطفئوا نور الله بأفواههم والله متم نوره ولو كره الكافرون وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم من مات ولم يغزو ولم يحدث به نفسه مات على شعبة من النفاق أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام Honorable ulama ikram, respected brothers and elders, the ayat kareema that I have recited before you, Allah Rabbul Izzat very explicitly, very emphatically explains that it is indeed the collective aim of the forces of kufr to extinguish the light of Allah. And furthermore, Allah says, وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ And the plan and the agenda of Allah is that He will complete His deen, He will perfect His deen. وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ Even if the kuffar dislike it, even if the polytheists dislike it. We find the kafir would never admit this being his agenda. However, Allah makes mention. In fact, the kafir, like another verse of the Quran, subhanallah, while the Western leaders in this very time and age claim to say the invasion of Iraq was to liberate the people of Iraq, but we find that 1 year down the line, it has only deepened the crisis. And the kafir would claim to say that, no, he has no problem with the Muslim. I have no problem with the moderate Muslim. I have a problem with the radical Muslim. I have a problem with the fundamentalist Muslim. And I have a problem with the terrorist Muslim. Let's define these terminologies. The radical Muslim, the one who reflects the beautiful appearance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The fundamentalist Muslim is the one who upholds the fundamentals of Islam. Wherever he travels, he performs his salah. He has his miswak with him. His women folk are veiled. And the terrorist Muslim are those Muslims who echo the sentiments of jihad, which is supposed to be inborn in a believer. So we don't have a problem with the moderate Muslim. We have a problem with the radical Muslim. And I swear by Allah, it is this very so-called alleged radical Muslim that is a threat to the West. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu is in Medina Munawwara. And the Muslims are facing difficulty in the battle in Egypt. He receives a letter that the Muslims are asking for reinforcement. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu dispatches 3 people. What were the reinforcements? Never in the history of any army have you heard 3 people as reinforcement. He says these 3 are the reinforcement. They resemble the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam totally. And they are enough to attract Allah's mercy. If any one of them shift from the life of Nabi alayhi salam, then even if I replace it with 30,000, it will be of no avail. So what is the definition? The world is afraid of that fundamentalist, the one who upholds the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let us not despair for a moment. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ Allah says, do not for a moment entertain the thought that Allah is unmindful of the atrocities of the evil people. إِنَّمَا يُؤَخِّرُهُمْ While they release their missile and it strikes target, they call it precision, I call it the clemency of Allah. They call it striking targets, we call it the grace and the tolerance of Allah. And let me tell you, brothers, the tolerance of Allah knows no bounds. Never mind the respite that Allah has given to them today. We learned prior to Qiyamah, when Ya'juj, Ma'juj will make their presence on this earth, may Allah take us before that time. It's not a time to envy, it's not a time to look forward to live at that time. The challenges of preserving Iman will be immensely great. Nonetheless, they will come on this earth, cause havoc and chaos on this earth. Thereafter, they will say, we now direct our arrows to the dwellers of the skies, and we want to also kill the inhabitants of the skies. Allah's clemency and Allah's respite, Allah will return those arrows stained with blood. Allah will return those arrows stained with blood, falsely giving them the hope. And this is the deception. This is the deception that the kuffar had throughout the ages and the period. And the current happening suggests that this is still the deception of a kafir. that if the Muslim leaders will be assassinated, then that would be the end of Islam. When we say Muslim leaders, brothers, we are not referring to the head of any Islamic state. I swear by Allah, they are not the leaders of Islam nor the Muslims. Nay, they are the statistics of the prophecies of Nabi alayhi salam, who said it, a time will come, the most evil amongst you will sit and govern over you. But this was the deception of the kafir, that when the Muslim leaders will be assassinated, that is the end of Islam. And this particular theory finds its roots from the very beginning, when elaborate preparations were made to assassinate none other than Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And who else other than the Yahud? Who else other than the Yahud who played a vital role in trying to assassinate Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? In the initial stages, Nabi alayhi salam had security with him. Sahaba used to patrol around him. Wherever he used to walk, they used to stand with him. Allah then subsequently revealed the verse, وَاللَّهُ يَعْصِمُكَ مِنَ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يَعْصِمُكَ مِنَ النَّاسِ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah has taken it upon himself that he will divinely protect you. After the revelation of this verse, Nabi alayhi salam told the Sahaba, now you can leave me. Allah has taken care of me. He is to then walk freely in the streets of Medina. At any time when anyone had any nasty agenda, Jibreel Amin used to come caution him. The Yahud invited him. He sat down in the meeting. Jibreel comes and cautions him, they are about to drop a boulder on you. Move from you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who poisoned the food of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam other than a Yahudi woman? Let me tell you, brothers, historians have written there hasn't been a nation that has been more merciless to their prophets than the Yahuds. The riwayat of Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah on the authority of Ibn Abi Hatim, Nabi alayhi salam said, the Yahud, Allahu Akbar, assassinated 43 Anbiya on one day. The Yahud assassinated 43 Anbiya on one day, and that's not all, and 170 pious people who invited them towards Allah. So this was the, and in the battle of Uhud, when Sayyidina Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu was killed, who resembled the features of Nabi alayhi salatu was salam, then immediately the kuffar seized the opportunity and they passed the rumor that Muhammad has been slain, Muhammad has been killed, to echo a message of psychological defeat to the Muslims. And this is exactly what the media is currently doing, psychologically to defeat the minds of the Muslims. Can we imagine the chaos it must have brought in the ranks of Sahaba, that in the midst of Sahaba, the news is being brought that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been assassinated and murdered, and the kuffar are rejoicing. Certain Sahaba caught sight of Nabi alayhi salam, they formed a human wall. Abu Dujana, Talha, Zubair, they actually formed a human wall. And the arrows that were being showered, they took on the back of Nabi alayhi salam. And once again, they announced that, look here, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is alive and he is safe. When they realized that they could not assassinate Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then as the Quran says, they started saying, نَتَرَبَّسُ بِهِ رَيْبَ الْمَنُونَ نَتَرَبَّسُ بِهِ رَيْبَ الْمَنُونَ. Let's just wait for this man to die. Let this prophet die. Once he dies, that's the end of Islam. Once Muhammad is over, that's the end of Islam. Allah gave two answers in the Quran. The first answer Allah gave, أَفَإِمْ مِتَّ فَهُمُ الْخَالِدُونَ. If Muhammad dies, are you going to live eternally? No, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتُونَ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ. Muhammad is to leave and everyone is to leave that has come on the face of this earth. But history bears testimony to the fact that at the demise of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the most critical juncture in the annals of Islamic history, Allah inspired Abu Bakr with the same zeal and the same sentiments. And hence Abu Bakr steered the ummah, and he rightly earned the title of being the savior of this ummah. At the demise of Abu Bakr, Allah transmitted that zeal into Umar. At the assassination of Umar, Allah transmitted that zeal into Uthman. At the assassination of Uthman, Allah transmitted that zeal into Ali. Wallah, brothers, let them claim the lives of one, let them claim the lives of two. Let them take Osama, let them take Mullah Muhammad Umar. May Allah save them from the nasty ploys of the enemies of Islam. At every given moment, just as there will be the enemies of Islam, Allah will raise certain individuals also to defend and to protect his deen. This is the promise of Allah. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ إِنَّمَا يُؤَخِّرُهُمْ لِيَوْمٍ تَشْخَصُ فِيهِ الْأَبْصَارِ. Allah has a plan and Allah has a system, and Allah is giving grace. Allah is giving grace to the kuffar over what is happening. The point on which I want to focus, one incident of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu comes to mind. I was speaking about that ayah, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يُعْجِبُكَ قَوْلُهُ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Allah speaks about one kafir, What does the Quran say? Subhanallah. Just look at the Quran and look at the current slogans of the Western world. Amongst the people of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam are those من يعجبك قوله في الحياة الدنيا, who are very profound in their articulation, who are very impressive in their speech, who chant noble slogans. ويشهد الله على ما في قلبه, and who claim to say that Allah is their witness that He loves you. We wish to liberate the people of Iraq. Those are the slogans being chanted. And what does Allah say? وَإِذَا تَوَلَّى سَعَى فِي الْأَرْضِ لِيُفْسِي. I wish you could understand Arabic, your hearts would have burst. وَإِذَا تَوَلَّى. But when He leaves your gathering, O Muhammad, سَعَى فِي الْأَرْضِ, His only object is to cause mischief on this earth. When He chants the slogans and He says, Allah is my witness, I love you and the Muslims. Occasionally to call few Muslims in the White House to have iftar to appease the Muslim world. وَإِذَا تَوَلَّى. But when He leaves your gathering, سَعَى لِيُفْسِدَ فِيهَا وَيُهْلِكَ الْحَرْثَ وَالنَّسْلَ, to destroy cattle and to destroy man. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُ اتَّقِ اللَّهِ, and when He is told, fear Allah, and when He is reminded of His pledges that He made, أَخَذَتْهُ الْعِزَّةُ بِالْإِثْ, then He is taken with arrogance, that who are you to tell me? Brothers, but it is the respite of Allah, it is the grace of Allah. Scholars have written, Allah gave such grace to Fir'aun that for centuries, he lived for centuries he never had an headache. Bayezid Bustami rahmatullah alayhi has written that if Allah had to only keep Fir'aun hungry, one day he would have never claimed to be Allah. But this was the direct result of the perpetual affluence that Allah gave him. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, it is the battle of Khandaq, one arrogant kafir comes out. He comes out and he says, مَن يُبَارِزُنِي, who will take me on? Nabi alayhi salam addresses the sahaba. Ali radiallahu anhu said, oh Nabi of Allah, take him on. I don't like this man's arrogance. Nabi alayhi salam said, اِجْلِسْ إِنَّهُ Amr. Ali sat down, this is Amr, whose strength is equal to 40 men. Again he stands up, مَن يُبَارِزُنِي, who is ready to take me on? Sayyidina Ali said, oh Nabi of Allah, let me go, this man is really provoking me. Nabi alayhi salam says, relax Ali, this is a very senior kafir. Again he says, and this time he now stirs the Muslims. أين جنتكم التي تزعمون أنه من قتل منكم دونها دخلها. What about that paradise you people thought that if you martyred you go straight? Where's that paradise? Sayyidina Ali became emotional. Sayyidina Ali became emotional. To remove the sentiments of jihad from true believers is like removing the sweetness of honey or the liquidity of water. What did Talha ibn Zubair say? He used to say, Zubair ibn Awam, إن Talha ibn Zubair يسمي بنيه بأسماء الأنبياء وَقَدْ عَلِمَ أَلَّا نَبِيَّ بَعْدَ مُحَمَّدٍ, that my companion, Talha ibn Zubair, has named his children after the names of prophets, knowing very well that there will be no prophet after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَإِنِّي لَأُسَمِّي بَنِيَّ بِأَسْمَاءِ الشُّهَدَاءِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَسْتَشْهَدُونَ. But I will name my children after the names of martyrs. So the minimum resemblance I can create in that newborn and a martyr is have the same name. With the hope that this child will grow up to be a warrior of Islam and present his life. Allah gave him 7 sons. He named every son. Every day I'm inundated with calls. I take this platform once again to urge the brothers and the sisters. For Allah's sake, give your children the names of the Sahaba. For Allah's sake, I beg you, beseech you, implore you. I'm inundated with calls where people want to give other names. Brothers, are we tired? Do we suffer a complex? Are we monotonous? Are we feeling bored with the names of Sahaba? The Sahabi says, I give every son a name after the name of a martyr. He names his first son Abdullah after the great martyr Abdullah ibn Jahash. He names his second son Amr after the great martyr Amr ibn Munzir. He names his third son Urwa after the great martyr Urwa ibn Amr. He names his fourth son Khalid. He names his fifth son Mus'ab. He names his sixth son Ja'far. All after martyrs. This was the spirit. Nonetheless, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu advances. Allahu Akbar. As he advances, mounts onto his horse. This kafir tells Ali, who are you? Ali radiallahu anhu says, my name is Ali. Are you the son of Abd Manaf? He says, no, I'm the son of Abu Talib. So he tells Ali, but you know what, I don't want to finish you up. Ali radiallahu anhu says, but I'm thirsty for your blood. فَنَزَلَ مِنْ خَيْلِهِ كَأَنَّهُ. Where are the youth of this ummah? While thousands die in Palestine, and we wonder why isn't the help of Allah coming. My brother, before you get a negative perception of the delay of the help of Allah, just see where the youth are congregating on Saturday night. I swear by Allah, if you have a fraction of Iman, you'll cry like a baby. One side, thousands are giving their lives. You're begging Allah, make a decision. But see where youth are congregating and now they're dancing and attracting Allah's wrath. فَنَزَلَ مِنْ خَيْلِهِ كَأَنَّهُ شَعْلَةُ نَارٍ He dismounts from his horse like flames of fire. Ali radiallahu anhu then couplets, man, that was, you know, in the nature of Arabs. لَا تَعْجِلَنَّ فَقَدْ أَتَاكَ مُجِيبُ صَوْتِكَ غَيْرُ عَاجِزٍ Stop your arrogance, the one to respond to your bravery is here today. فِي نِيَّةٍ وَبَصِيرَةٍ وَالصِّدْقَ مَنْجَى كُلَّ فَائِزٍ I stand with conviction and hope in Allah. إِنِّي لَأَرْجُوَ أَنْ أُقِيمَ عَلَيْكَ نَائِحَةَ الْجَنَائِزِ مِنْ ذَرْبَةِ النَّجْلَى يَبْقَى ذِكْرُهَا عِنْدَ الْهَزَائِزِ I will finish you in such a way, this will serve as a remembrance in every battle that is fought till the day of Qiyamah. Then he advances to Ali. He strikes Ali radiallahu anhu on the head. فَتَارَ الْعَجَاز The dust rises. The scene is vague. Sahaba become tense. Nabi alayhi salam falls into sajda. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu takes out his sword and he says, Allahu Akbar, and he strikes him on his shoulder. And he says, finally the enemy of Allah has been destroyed. And then he sings couplets. أَعَلَيَّ تَقْتَحِمُ الْفَوَارِسُ هَكَذَا عَنِّي وَعَنْهُمْ أَخِّرُوا أَصْحَابِي الْيَوْمَ يَمْنَعُنِ الْفِرَارَ حَفِيذَتِي The time had to come where you meet your match. And today was the day that I decided with Allah, I'm not going to move from this battlefield till I don't finish this kafir. My arrow wasn't going to miss, it was going to strike target. وَعَفَفْتُ عَنْ أَثْوَابِهِ وَلَوْ أَنَّنِي كُنْتُ الْمُقَتَّرَ بَزَّنِي أَثْوَابِي Then he addressed the entire Muslim world and he said, لَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ خَاذِلَ دِينِهِ Oh people, don't ever think that Allah will abandon his deen and desert his prophets. Don't ever think Allah will abandon his deen and desert his prophet. Brothers, I can continue speaking about the atrocities of the Yahud. And I can continue speaking about the jihad of the Muslim Ummah. My question that I open up to the congregation here, when this is the global climax, the global situation of the Ummah, as Muslims, what lesson are we taking from this? As-sa'idu man wu'idha bighayrihi. An intelligent person is one who heeds the happenings around him. When Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu passed away, Umar radiallahu anhu sang few couplets. And he said, ذَهَبَ الَّذِينَ أُحِبُّهُمْ فَيَا دُنْيَا عَلَيْكَ السَّلَامُ Those whom we loved and cherished and revered and who are our spiritual mentors have left this world. So he addresses the world at the demise of Abu Bakr. He addresses the temptations of the world. And he says, just as I have bid farewell to Abu Bakr, O world, let me tell you, I equally bid farewell to you and your temptations and your luxuries. لَا تُذَكِّرِينَ الْعَيْشَ فَإِنَّ الْعَيْشَ لِي بَعْدَهُمْ حَرَامُ Don't ever try and tempt me with the comforts of this world. After I've seen how my Muslim brothers die in other parts of the world, I have now divorced the comforts of this world. Inni radi'u wisalihim wa at-tiflu yu'limuhu al-fitanmu. I was being suckled by Abu Bakr. My example is like a child who's been suckled by his mother, and his mother tragically dies in an accident, and instantly the child has to be weaned off. Can the words of any language describe the restlessness of that child? Those that suckle me have left this world. I'm like a child that is to be instantly weaned off. جَزْعُكَ فِي مُصِيبَةِ الصَّدِيقِ خَيْرٌ مِّن سُكُوتِكِ It is better for you to empathize on the tragedy of your brother than to be silent. And it is better for you to be silent on your own tragedy than to moan or groan. What beautiful words. On the contrary, today we moan and groan on our personal problems, but we are silent about the tragedy that stares at the entire Muslim Ummah. But what is the spirit of Iman? Man kana al-mautu maw'iduhu. Brothers, what message are we taking? One person was standing by a dead body and he's sympathizing with the man. And he says, I feel so sorry for him. So someone came past, he asked him, what's the matter? He says, no, I'm sympathizing. He says, my brother, don't sympathize with him, sympathize with yourself. You know what? He's over with three stages that you and I have to still go through. Wallah, those that fall in Palestine, they die as martyrs. They are in Jannat, inshallah. Say Ameen, brothers. When the tragedy is, you know, a survey was done, approximately 80% of the youth of Palestine have witnessed the massacre of a near and dear one cold-bloodedly in front of their eyes. And yes, Saturday night when we heard the demise of Sheikh Abdul Aziz Rantisi rahimahumullah, do we still continue with our agenda, going to a haram place to watch some haram? Like, does life just continue like this for us? When Abu Bakr, when Umar said after the demise of Abu Bakr, that's the end of comfort in my life, as long as I love. So what does he say? مَنْ كَانَ الْمَوْتُ مَوْعِدُهُ وَالْقَبْرُ بَيْتُهُ وَالثَّرَى مَسْكَنُهُ وَالدُّودُ أَنِيسُهُ That person who has an appointment with the angel of death, whose house is the grave, whose abode is the soil, whose companions in the grave are the insects, how can he find time to rejoice? Nonetheless, this man tells him, don't sympathize on that man, sympathize on yourself. Sympathize with yourself. You and I have to go through three things that they have gone through. Number one, ru'yatu malakul maut, the frightening sight of the angel of death. Every one of us has to go through, they are gone. You can see a man met up in accident, you say, may Allah save me from that tragedy. You can see a man having a heart attack, may Allah save me from that. But you cannot see a man dying and say, may Allah save me from death. Wallah, when you see that martyr, my Nabi said in the hadith, the second thing you must sympathize with yourself is the pain of death. My Nabi said in a hadith that the only pain a martyr feels is when that Messiah strikes him. It's like one thorn pricking you and that's it. A thorn pricked him and he's in Jannat. While a man dying on his bed is like 360 swords pierced into his body. So don't sympathize with him, sympathize with yourself. Number one, the frightening sight of the angel of death. Number two, the sourness of death. Number three, the fear of dying as a Muslim or not. We have to sympathize with ourselves. I leave you with some thought-provoking advice. Brothers, it is time we reflect. It is time we introspect. How long will we continue seeing the streets of Iraq drink the blood of this ummah? And a change doesn't come to my life. My wife still remains unveiled. My children still attend haram places. I don't curtail my evil. I don't abandon a life of sin. When this is the price. There was a young girl, there was an article in 2 weeks in the paper. A young girl in England, she was walking veiled with a scarf. She was harassed, she was victimized. Yet she said, I will never give up Islam. Now I want to ask my sisters who are listening to me on the receivers. When in other parts of the world, in the area in which you live, there are certain girls that have been victimized, that have been hurt and been injured, but resist everything to look like modest Muslim girls. My sister, you enjoy freedom in this country. You can veil yourself and yet you don't seize the opportunity. I really fear the challenges are going to be bleak for you on the day of Qiyamah. What were the advisors? They say there are three eyes. One is the physical eye, where the human and the animal is no different. In fact, the animal's eye is more beautiful. Look at your local domestic cat. Once, twice we went hunting in the night, you shine the spotlight and you see those impalas and you see those deer. What beautiful eyes. But that doesn't make man superior. Even the animal has that eye. He has a better vision than you. One is the intellectual eye. That is exclusive to the human. The animal doesn't have. And the third is the spiritual eye. And that is exclusive to the believer. Who heeds everything. فَجَعَلْنَاهَا نَكَالًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهَا وَمَا خَلْفَهَا فَجَعَلْنَاهَا نَكَالًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهَا وَمَا خَلْفَهَا. Wherever Allah spoke about anything, Allah said, and I made it a reminder for all those that were living in that time. I made this as an eye-opener, to serve as an admonishment, and a reminder for everyone. Let me leave you within the advice of one father who leaves behind young children, that this global crisis can conscientize this Muslim ummah. The Quran makes mention of the incident of Musa and Khidr alayhi salatu wassalam. And as they come to that locality where there was a wall, and the wall was about to collapse, and Khidr alayhi salam straightens the wall. Musa alayhi salatu wassalam interacts with Khidr and he says, but these people have been so harsh to us, they have refused our hospitality, they have not entertained us, and on the contrary, you have been so kind to them. Why don't you take some reward from them? Why don't you ask them for some money? So at this point of the separation, Khidr alayhi salam then discloses the wisdom of why he took additional care in protecting this wall. The Quran goes on to explain the 16 juz of the Quran, the second page, the first line. وَأَمَّا الْجِدَارُ فَكَانَ لِغُلَامَيْنِ يَتِيمَيْنِ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ وَكَانَ تَحْتَهُ كَنْزٌ لَهُمَا وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. Beneath this wall, there was a treasure which belonged to two orphans. And the father was very pious, and on the grounds of the piety of the father, Allah told me to safeguard this treasure. So that when these children will grow up, and they will be at a sense of maturity, فَإِنْ آنَسْتُمْ مِنْهُمْ رُشْدًا, when you perceive intellect from those youth, from those orphans, as the guardian, as the uncle, as soon as those children mature, bring them forward. Oh my little nephew, your father died at this age. This was the estate he left behind. These are the documents. I took access over the estate of your father. Ya, I have returned everything what your father left behind to you in good care. Nabi alayhi salam says, the man who will safeguard
the estate of an orphan in that manner and embrace that orphan, myself and him will be so close on the day of the Qiyamah. And then Nabi Alayhi Salaam indicated his closeness. But my question to you and the advice with which I leave you, what was the treasure the father left behind? What was this gift? In Madarikut Tanzil, in the second volume, and likewise in the Hashya of Jalalain, it is written, it was a plate of gold. It was a plate of, I wish we can also leave that behind for our children. Enough, many of us have left palaces and homes. Those children didn't even know where their parents were buried, never mind conveying sawab. They forgot the grave of their father. But let's see the advice this father. It was a plate of gold that he left behind for his children, on which the following advices were engraved. عَجِبْتُ لِمَنْ يُؤْمِنُ بِالْقَدْرِ كَيْفَ يَحْزُنُ. I am indeed astonished at the man who believes in taqdeer and predestination, yet grieves over the loss of this world. عَجِبْتُ لِمَنْ يُؤْمِنُ بِالرِّزْقِ كَيْفَ يَتْعَبْ. I am astonished at the man who believes that Allah is the sole sustainer, yet exerts and exhorts himself in accomplishing this world. عَجِبْتُ لِمَنْ يُؤْمِنُ بِالْمَوْتِ كَيْفَ يَفْرَحْ. I am perplexed at that man who believes in death, yet finds time to rejoice. كُلُّ دَارٍ وَإِن طَالَتْ سَلَامَتُهَا يَوْمًا سَتُدْرِكُهَا النَّكْبَاءُ وَالْحُوَبُ. Every palace, even if its prosperity is prolonged, inevitably it would one day be gripped in sorrow and mourning. Every home, everywhere, where weddings took place, where functions took place, a time will come that palace will be gripped in sorrow and sadness. Brothers, we've entered into the homes where janazas were there. People couldn't be bothered of the food burning on the stove. People could, this quotation, every home will inevitably gripped in sorrow and sadness. I am astonished at the man who believes in death, yet finds time to rejoice. عَجِبْتُ لِمَنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِالْحِسَابِ كَيْفَ يَغْفُلْ. I am astonished at the man who believes in accountability, yet lives a life unmindful, negligent, heedless, warning upon warning, janaza upon janaza. Every child, I swear by Allah, every time I see a child die in Iraq, or a child or a person dying in Palestine, I actually feel some spirituality being transmitted into me. It's like a message coming direct. Like, how long will you carry on with your life? Are you not seeing what people are doing for Allah's deen? I'm astonished at the man who believes in accountability, yet lives a life negligent of Allah. عَجِبْتُ لِمَنْ يَعْرِفُ الدُّنْيَا وَتَقَلُّبِهَا. I'm perplexed at the man who sees the deceptive nature of this world, yet obsesses. Yet obsessed by this very same kingdom. May Allah Ta'ala bring victory to the Muslims wherever they are. May Allah make this the turning point in our life. Brothers, each man abandon the sin on which we were persistent for the last 10 years. And then make dua to Allah, and you see how Allah responds to your call. Give up that sin. For me, perhaps let me stop abusing my sight. For another brother, give up interest as you walk out of the masjid. For a third man, give up the TV from your house. For a fourth man, give up that haram. And then there will be value to you asking. You will show Allah your commitment when you abandon your wrong. Before you lift your hands, Allah will send the doors of victory. Allah inspire us all. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.